I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hey, guys, it's me here at Box Number 7 for a brief podcast live from Kaleidoscope Coffee and with a slight background enhancement from an ambulance that sounds like is headed somewhere. I don't know where they're going. Kind of a busy morning, but it's a great Sunday morning here at Kaleidoscope on Athens Avenue, directly across the street from the San Francisco Deli. I'm having a double shot of espresso made for me by Mr. Sonny Lee, barista master inside and all-around nice guy. So I basically wanted to just talk about that coffee advertisement, Apocalypse Coffee. I had people ask me, are they real? Because my commercial was so made up, my commercial was such a put-on and had so many absurdities and biblical apocalyptic references, they thought that maybe I made up the whole thing as a vehicle for, you know, my stupidity. No, they're real, and they're great. And the Apocalypse Coffee flavor I have tried is called Antimatter, and it is fantastic. I know people brag about coffee. I am not a coffee snob. I'm not the guy that's going to stand in front of you at a coffee shop and talk about 18 different variations of Madagascar chocolate and whether or not the coffee beans had first passed through the intestinal tract of the Asian palm civet, otherwise known as the Paradoxurus hermaphroditus. Trust me, I could be that guy. I'm just not. I love coffee, but I'm not a coffee snob, and I typically drink it black with a little bit of sugar. Anyway, Apocalypse Coffee, I genuinely love them. I don't know if they're going to appreciate my take, and who knows, I might get a cease and desist after that whole mess. Anyway, I am here to just simply talk about the second half of the name change for the podcast. I explained why I changed it from Woolly Swamp Radio, and now I will explain it today on Box Number 7. So I already explained the first half of the podcast title dilemma. Primarily, it was just hard to search for with the name Woolly Swamp Radio because I wanted to name it in a way where the spelling and the syntax was commensurate with a song by the Charlie Daniels Band called The Legend of Woolly Swamp. And so it was spelled W-O-O-L-E-Y. And I would have felt that I was sort of betraying my dedication and honor to the storytelling magic of the late Mr. Charlie Daniels to change the spelling. And so not wanting to do that, I decided to move to something that still had a wide-ranging spectrum of meaning. Thus, Box Number 7. So if you picked up on my very first podcast with regards to the Lincoln assassination, you might have heard that Box Number 7 was the name of the balcony seat in which Lincoln and his wife and the general and other people were seated in that night to watch our American cousin. So the name of my podcast isn't exactly, a tribute to the assassination of a president. But it is true that Box Number 7 and that balcony seating was the inflection point for a nation and in some ways for the world. Abraham Lincoln's assassination, his Emancipation Proclamation, the ending of the war, all those things were a huge change and inflection point in the nation, the world, and yet that balcony seat was also a vantage point. A balcony seat is sort of the place where you can sit and look at things from an aerial view. And so the idea of having a vantage, of seeing things beyond arm's length, inflection points, historical significance. I've never been to Ford's Theater. I would love to go. But I am aware of something. As much as I would want to go look at the inside of Ford's Theater, I'm also aware that there was an internal roof collapse in 1893 that caused them to have to renovate the entire insides. And so it was, for the most part, effectively gutted and then restored to a condition that is supposed to be nearly identical to the night of April 14th of 1865. So if I was standing in the perimeter of the building, I would realize I am in the building where it happened. I am in the architectural skeleton of where it happened. They don't allow people in that balcony seating, I guess. To me, it wouldn't matter other than the fact that I think it would be maybe as appalling as that guy's muffler. So, anyway, that gross polluter. Pull him over. Sirens. Anyway, I don't know what I'm getting at. Okay, so anyway, doing these outdoor podcasts, that is one of the, there is one of your hazards right there. The other thing is I would never actually be standing in the balcony in which Lincoln lost his life or began to lose his life because it was gutted. The only thing that would be the same would be I would be occupying the exact same space in terms of GPS locale. I would be suspended via plywood in the same pocket of space on planet Earth in which the bullet flew and a nation was changed. But nonetheless, if I were in Ford's Theater, I would probably sit there in a seat in awe of just the fact that that piece of ground and that architectural outer shell is where it all happened. I've always been fascinated with these interesting and, I don't know, somewhat esoteric concepts, one being the stone tape theory, which I realize is something that is referred to by all kinds of people that are in pursuit of ghosts and things like this. But basically, the stone tape theory is that traumatic events are absorbed, the noises, that sound waves and things are absorbed by limestone and rock, and then it's possible to hear them later, like an echo, like sort of a stored echo, like a battery, kind of like the stored energy inside your cell phone. So I've always thought that. But the other one that I thought is this interesting concept that I think is possible, and it involves something called acoustic archaeology. The idea that no sound ever emitted ever fully decays. It just keeps decaying in some sort of, eternal entropic form of degradation. And if you had the technological ability to tune into that particular frequency of degradation, that maybe you could go back and tune in and hear the sound waves of the very moment that Abe Lincoln was assassinated. It's a really far-reaching theory, but, if you ever read science fiction, I think I actually I think it was a forensic crime scene investigation type show where I actually heard this theory, the second one, acoustic archaeology, actually put forth, and it interested me. I don't think the technology exists, and I think that that technology is so remote and possibly so impossible when something that happened in 1865, imagine the sound waves that you would be trying to plow through. Unless you could dial it in like a, you know, I want to go back to 1856 on Back to the Future on your time machine, something like that. Time travel alone is an interesting concept. So really, box number seven is symbolically the balcony seat in which Lincoln was seated, but it doesn't deal with him directly. It just deals with the impact, power, inflection point, bird's eye view, and vantage that a balcony affords. And since most of my podcasts are going to be about deep dive subjects, with a lot of humor and quite a bit of stupidity woven in, for the most part, you're just going to get synopsis. You're going to get overviews. You're going to get theoretical, you know, pot shots. I'm not really the deep dive kind of guy, although I do deep dive before I do a podcast on a subject. I do a lot more reading, and I read a lot more in-depth stuff before I come in and do my blatantly shallow podcast. But that's just the nature of the beast. I always expect my output to be shallower than my source material, and that's not really so much of a self-deprecating position, but the fact that I want to continue to have fun. And if I put too much academic onus on myself for every single subject, then it's going to get tiring real fast, and I have a tendency to bail on things that become way too minutia involved. I'm a big picture guy. I don't like minutia. I don't like every possible microscopic gear in a Swiss watch, and I don't want to try to conceive of those things, or I shut down really fast. As a matter of fact, I just had a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle made for a project, and then I'm too lazy to put it together, and so I'm abandoning it. I'm abandoning using it for the project I was going to use it, because I just don't want to put together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. That's how indescribably averse to minutiae and tiny working gears I am, if that makes sense. So there you go. There's that explanation. Speaking of deep dives, I've done a... Well, I don't know how deep dive it is, but I think you're going to like the next show, at least the next one I have planned, unless I do another mini show. And that has to do with, hey, does anybody happen to know where the Ark of the Covenant is? Well, we're going to explore that a little bit. I think that it's going to be an interesting podcast, to say the least. And as I say with most things, it's probably going to be more heat than light. But there's a lot of podcasts I listen to that are a lot of heat and not a whole lot of light, and I enjoy them. Podcasting does seem to be where it's at right now, and mainstream media pretty much is on the decline, and I can't say they don't deserve it. In a lot of ways, they do, but that's a whole separate issue that I don't need to go into here. So, what else? I finished my espresso while I'm doing this, even though you would never know when I was taking a sip. And it's just kind of a lazy morning for me, so I think I'm going to cut out of here. There you go. There's the synopsis. There's the ramble, the traffic noise, the people, the ambiance, everything but the smells. And it smells pretty good here because it's a really great coffee place. Kaleidoscope Coffee, Redding, California. And if you ever get into this place, you have to try the food. They have food that cannot be matched, and that's because I think the majority of the food stems from the brainchild of Mr. Al Myers, him and Dan Burton. They run this place like a top, and I love it, and I'm so glad that it's fairly close to where I live. And their family. So there you go. Live from Kaleidoscope Coffee, That's it for me, and this is box number 7.
During the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.